Thank you for listening to this recorded sermon from Brownsdale Baptist Church. This message from Pastor Jonathan McCullough is titled, He Brought Us Out to Bring Us In. You can listen to more recorded sermons on our website at brownsdalebaptistchurch.com.
I believe that the day's pacing. I believe that his coming could happen at any moment.
Amen.
Brother Jonathan, that's just a fairy tale. No, you can believe in fairy tales if you want to. But he stepped into my life and he changed it. And he made me a new creature. I know there's something to it. Amen. He's a personal God. He's not just some distant deity that's aloof and doesn't care about my life. He is intimately invested in my life. Amen.
Amen.
And he's turned my life around.
Yes.
And home is where he is. Amen. Praise God. And so my heart's on home.
Yes.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's the prayer of my heart today.
Yes.
And I hope and pray that that's your prayer today.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Oh, Lord have mercy. He's back in Deuteronomy. Way back there. I want to say welcome this morning to Brownsdale Baptist Church. Thank you for being in service with us today. I just pray that the Lord, just make yourself at home. Pray that God just speaks to your heart and encourages you today through His Word. I was reading our Bible in a year plan, and if we have a few that's still on the bus. If you've jumped off the bus, get back on the bus, wherever we are. All right? We're going to keep reading together. But we have recently came through. We are in Deuteronomy right now. And the other evening I was reading in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I came across this passage. And it jumped off the page at me. And I knew immediately when I read that text that I'd be preaching this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's going to be a little bit different than my normal sermon structure. You might get out on time. Don't quote me on that. But you might get out on time today. But I believe this is what God wants to speak to our hearts today. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read 5 verses of Scripture beginning in verse 20. 6 verses of Scripture. Are you there?
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say, wait a minute, preacher. All right, we're waiting. That's a tough one. That one's way back there. Did you find it? Layla, you there? All right. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? You need to be able to say something to your kids. That's what God's saying. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. What's a good verse, isn't it? And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes to fear the Lord, I lost my place, our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. I want to read verse 23 one more time. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. That verse jumped off the page at me the other night. I felt the Spirit tell me, you let them know that I brought you out to bring you in. Amen.
Amen.
This morning I want to preach on that thought. He brought us out to bring us in. Can we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence that we have felt in this place, Lord. I'm not interested in doing church as usual. I'm not interested in form and ritual. I think those are wonderful. Those are great things. But God, if you're not in the middle of it, then it's dead religion. I'm not interested in dead religion, Lord. Meet with us today. Let us experience you. Let us feel you in your power, Lord Jesus. Take your word, Lord, as it's preached. Let it be your words, not mine. I'm a vessel. I'm an instrument. But God, if you'll fill this mouth with your word is eternal. And your word is life-changing. And your word can make a difference in people's hearts and lives today. That's what we pray for. So help me get out of the way. Saturate me with the unction from heaven. Let me stand and preach under the anointing of your Spirit, Lord. And not only the speaker, But Lord, the hearers, anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church today. Draw us close to you today. And Lord, change us and sanctify us through this truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Kierkegaard, the Danish philosopher, told a story about a goose who was wounded. That goose was wounded and landed in a barnyard with some chickens. Sounds like a story from Jay, don't it? We know about chickens, don't we? If you're a preacher, you know about chicken. Chickens are pretty much good for two things. To walk and eat, or to be eaten. That's pretty much what chickens do. Unless you're into illegal activity. And then you might do some rooster fighting. They're good for that. But other than that, they have a pretty boring life. This wounded goose, as his luck would have it, falls into the pen with a bunch of chickens. And that goose starts to make himself at home. He played with the chickens. He ate with the chickens. And it didn't take long before he thought he was a chicken. One day while the goose was running around like a chicken, a flight of geese came over, heading back home. They gave a honk up there in the sky, and that little goose heard it from the chicken yard. Something inside of him stirred. It was like somebody was calling him to the skies, and he started flapping his wings, those that he hadn't used. And he got a few feet off of the ground, and then he stopped, and he eased back down again into the mud of the barnyard. The goose heard the cry. He felt the pull. He was built for it, but he settled for less. The goose settled for less. I think that's the shape of the children of Israel in our text this morning. That's what I get out of that passage. The children of Israel have settled for less. God had a better plan for their life, but they're content with what they have. They've missed God's best. Notice what he says in verses 21 through 23. Verse 21, he says, Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence. Notice first that God, he brought them out. He brought them out of Egypt. Well, if he's going to bring them out of Egypt, then some things had to happen. The first thing that we see is that he saw them. He saw them. God looked and saw the children of Israel living in Egypt's bondage. And as he observed 400 years of Egyptian bondage, he remembered the promises that he made to their father, Abraham. Your descendants, Abraham, will be as the sand of the sea and as the stars in the heavens. All nations, Abraham, through thy seed will be blessed. These children of Israel were not meant for Egypt. Yet here they are, living in a strange land, living under the harsh reality of servile labor. They were slaves, slaves to a brutal taskmaster, meant to shine as stars in the sky, and yet they're dying in obscurity under the harsh tyranny of an Egyptian Pharaoh, making bricks when they were meant to make him known. Aren't you thankful that he sees us?
Yeah.
He sees us. Even in the mud slums of a strange land, Thank God, he sees us.
Amen.
He saw me today. He took notice of me. There in the swallows of my sin, God saw me.
Amen.
In the darkness of my depravity, he saw through the fog of disappointment. Others shut their eyes to me, but he saw me.
Yes.
Y'all know what I'm talking about this morning?
Amen.
He saw you in that dark room. Some in this place with a needle in your arm. He saw you in the slums of addiction, making bricks for a tyrant. Others had shut their eyes on you, but not him. Because his eyes are always on us.
Amen.
His heart is always broken for us.
Yes.
When the disciples couldn't see, Jesus saw.
Yes.
When the disciples seen a loud mouth that was getting on their nerves, Jesus could see the need. Jesus opened his eyes and could see and was moved with compassion about the trouble that was around him. That little woman with the issue of blood. Jesus saw the need. crazy man. But Jesus saw the need, praise God. God sees us where we are. His heart's always broken for us. He saw your pain. He recognized your struggle. Sleepless nights on a bench trying to find hope. Grasping for change. Your life was like the children of Israel. Bound. Enslaved to a ruthless dictator. Sin had us bound. Everybody in this room. Drugs lorded over you. Brother Tony McCullough, alcohol lorded over you. Selfishness lorded over us. Wickedness lorded over us. Religion lorded over us. You know what I'm talking about. And when the others couldn't see, he saw us.
Yes. Yeah.
My friend, if you don't know him today, right where you are, in the midst of the circumstances of your life, some don't want to be seen, but he sees you. He sees you right where you are, in the midst of the slum of our sin. Israel was in hard bondage under a ruthless taskmaster, but God didn't forget Israel. He saw them. And then he just didn't say, what a pity. And it's easy to look on, we see people in need around us. If we're not careful, we'll say, what a shame. Isn't that awful? Doesn't that break your heart? When we never take a step to do anything about it, that's not what the Lord works. God seen Israel, and God sent for Israel.
Yes.
You got to think, 400 years of bondage, these people probably thought to themselves, this is who we are. This is where we're going to die. We're slaves. We're meant to serve. I'm pretty sure that bondage and slavery had become a part of their identity because that's how it happens. We let our circumstances define us, and I'm pretty sure that these people probably got to that point. But God looks on and God says, no, that's not what you're meant for.
No.
This is not who you are. Aren't you thankful that he didn't just see us and leave us? He didn't leave us where we were. He came to us.
Yes.
He came to us.
Yes.
God says, this isn't who you are, Israel. You aren't meant for bondage. You aren't called to the slave fields of Pharaoh. I've got a future for you. I spoke promises over Abraham's posterity. You are the sons of Abraham. You are the daughters of Abraham. And my calling and purpose for your life is much better than the slum fields of Egypt. He sent for them. God starts this process of divine deliverance. Step one, he prepared a deliverer. A baby was placed in a basket, made of bulrush, and set in the Nile River. Have y'all seen what's in the Nile River? Anybody ever watch the documentary? It's crocodiles in that place.
Amen.
Moses' mama had to put him into the hands of the Lord and trust. That's the way I feel sometimes with my kids. Like I'm putting them in a basket made out of bulrush and throwing them into this world, into the river of this world. And God, you got to take care of them. You got to lead them. You got to direct them because there's a lot of crazy out there that can get them. That's the way Moses' mother did. She put him in a basket of bulrush and she placed him in the river, relinquishing the care of her son to God. Praise God. He just happens to float up. You ain't bothering me, sir. You stay right there if you want to. He just happens to float up to the feet of Pharaoh's daughter. Happened to. Could have went anywhere. Could have got stuck in any little old bush.
No.
He didn't.
No.
That little baby in the bulrush floated right on down to where Pharaoh's daughter was bathing. Floats right up there. Because God's directing the steps of Moses. She sees the baby and she draws him up out of the water. And because she drew him out of the water, she names him Moses. He's raised as the son of Pharaoh in Pharaoh's house. Isn't that funny? Why? Because God saw Israel.
Amen.
And God was sending Moses to Israel. He's raised in the house of Pharaoh as one of Pharaoh's sons. Raised by Egypt, trained by Egypt. Moses' life is great. He's got anything that he wants. Moses has power, he has prestige, but God says, Moses, you also have purpose. And so God begins to work on Moses' heart. He sees an Israelite being beaten by an Egyptian, and he gets so angry. In his fit of anger, he ends up taking the life of the Egyptian. He buries him in the sand, and he runs for his life. Moses flees from Egypt out of fear because he's afraid of what's going to take place. But isn't it amazing that he's driven right into the arms of God? He meets God in a burning bush on the backside of the desert. And God says from the burning bush, I've raised you up. I've called you for a purpose. I've prepared you for a destiny. I see my people. I see their condition. I see their pain. I hear their cries. And I've raised you up, Moses, for this moment. Go and lead my people out of bondage. And God sends a deliverer to the children of Israel. He sent for them. He saw them and he sent for them. Oh, we were wasting away this morning under the hard hand of an evil taskmaster. Sin had enslaved us. We couldn't say no to it. We had to have another drink. We had to have another dollar, another taste, another look, another high. We couldn't let go. Sin had us bound, but thank God that somebody saw us. And thank God that that somebody sent somebody to us, praise God.
Amen.
But it wasn't Moses this time. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. God's only son, sent in the form of humanity to live with us so that he could die for us. And in dying for us, he could lead us out of our sin. Some of you can remember right where you were the night he found you. Amen. Praise God. Wasting away in Egypt under the hard hand of that taskmaster, just counting down the days of your life.
Yes.
Tomorrow will be just like today, and the day after that will be just like today. No, not when there's somebody like him scheming.
Amen.
Praise God. He saw you. He sent you. I remember the night he found me. I remember the moment I realized that I couldn't make it on the coattail of a daddy. He was faithful. He was a man of God. He made the decision for his family. But there came a time in my life where I had to make the decision for myself. I was the one who was enslaved. And God sent someone to rescue me. Praise God.
Amen.
Not only did he send him, he saved them. He saved them. It's one thing to see somebody's pain and to even visit them in their pain, but it's another thing altogether to rescue them from that pain.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Aren't you thankful he didn't leave us there?
Amen.
He carried us out.
Yes.
He walked into that room. He stepped into that space. He kicked his way through the mire and the muck of this life.
Yes.
He walked right into that addiction. He busted up in there and he owned the place. Jonathan, I'm here to carry you out.
Yes.
Sin will not hold you any longer. The days of bondage are over.
Yes.
Slavery is not your destiny today.
Amen.
It's not your destiny. Sin will not win. You will not be a statistic.
No.
Your marriage will not end this way. You will know freedom. You'll be free from depression. You will be free from discouragement. You won't serve sin any longer. He can get us out. He was sent to get us out. He saw me. He sent for me and he saved me. He didn't leave me the way he found me. He didn't say, hey, Jonathan, bring your mortar trial with you. You might need it. No. Leave those tools behind. The utensils of your past can stay in the past.
Right.
Praise God.
Amen.
The days of making bricks are over.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm busting you out, son. Some of you need to throw the tools of Egypt away.
Yes.
You don't need it anymore. You're free. You have been set free by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
Free from the despicable tyranny of sin. Free from a life of hopelessness and a life of shame. Pain is over. Bondage is ended. The days of forced labor are over. They can't tell you what to do any longer.
Yes.
Praise God. But you've got a new boss. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn and preach this way if y'all don't preach me. Lord have mercy. He's leading you out. And it doesn't matter how the enemy tries to stop it, God will see it through.
Yes.
Told the church Wednesday night, old taskmasters don't let go easily. They're kind of possessive. Pharaoh was like, I don't think so. You belong to me. And God said, if that's the way you want to play, then we'll play that way. Miracles and plagues and signs and waters, water to blood, locusts, frogs, darkness, lice, flies, pestilence, boils. And hell and darkness and ultimately death. You will let them go, Pharaoh.
Yeah.
The easy way or the hard way.
Right.
But you're going to let them go.
That's right.
Aren't you thankful today that he was willing to do whatever it took?
Yes.
Praise God. He was willing to do whatever it took. He went all the way. Jesus went all the way to the cross.
Yes.
Praise God. Jesus, what are you doing? I'm leading them out, son. I'm leading them out. He saw us. He sent to us. And call his name Jesus, for he will save us. Praise
yes.
God.
Yes.
Now leave us the way he found us. This is where I want to get today. I'm not even got started good. That's where most people leave it. We shout about it. We should shout about it. We should be thankful. We should celebrate it. But don't stop there. He brought us out. Praise God. I'm saved. I've been delivered. And that's where we leave it. God tells the children of Israel through Moses. Moses, tell your sons that I brought you out to bring you in. What's he saying? To bring them in. You have to understand that this statement was made 40 years. When he makes this statement, 40 years had passed. The children of Israel are still wandering around in the wilderness after 40 years of being freed from Egyptian bondage. After 40 years, they have yet to let go of their past and possess the land of Canaan, the land that he had promised them. You remember in the Bible they sent spies. Long time before that they sent spies. And the spies came back and they said, yeah, that land looks good. I mean, it's everything we could hope for, everything we could dream for. I mean, it's grapes like they brought clusters of grapes back. I mean, they talked about a land flowing with milk and honey. It is everything that God told us it was. But listen, Moses. Has some big jokers over there. They bigger than you and me. I mean, we're going to have to pack a lunch. If we try something, it's just impossible. They're too big. They're too great. There's giants. There's walled cities. There's no way that we can possess that land. When are we going to stop listening to the lies of the enemy? You'll never experience that. You'll never have that. You'll never, never, never. And so for 40 years, this group of people that God had just miraculously led out of Egypt walked around in the wilderness 40 years. Get the picture. Think of all the miracles he's worked. He literally dried up the bed of the Red Sea so that they could walk across on dry ground. He made water that was bitter sweet. He fed them with manna from heaven. That's I don't even know what to, I mean, it's heavenly bread. Baked in heaven's bakery, I don't know. But it fell out of heaven and rained down on the floor of the wilderness, and all they had to do was go and pick it. Pick it up and eat it. They even got tired of that. There's something wrong with those people.
Sinner.
All of circles. And yet they are walking in circles in the wilderness while their lives pass them by. These people were brought out of Egypt, but they never crossed into Canaan. God says, "What are you doing? I brought you out so that I could bring you in."
Amen.
And yet here you are settling for less than what God has for you. Do I sound like a prosperity preacher this morning? I told Becky, I said, "I don't know how to feel preaching this positive message like this." But we're settling for less than what God has for us. Why are we settling for less? God challenged me with that question this week. But Brother Jonathan, He saved me and that's enough. Sounds spiritual, don't it? No. Listen to me, write this down. He didn't just save me from something. He saves me to something.
Right.
Praise God. I want to say that again. He didn't just save me from something. He saved me to something. Some of you are walking in circles. You found yourself walking in the ruts of this life, never moving to higher things in Him. You don't sense the victory in your life. You're saved, but you're fighting discouragement. You're born again, but you struggle to find joy. Your marriage is holding on, but barely. You can't smile. You can't worship. You're out of Egypt, but you're running in circles in the wilderness. Preaching to me this morning. The enemy stole the joy. You don't want to serve. You don't want to deal with people. It'd be easier just to sit on the by the wayside. Listen to me today. The enemy is robbing you of the fullness of God's will for your life.
Amen.
You are settling for tents in the wilderness when He's built you a home in Canaan. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. God's done some wonderful things for you. But God sent me to tell you He has more. He wants more for you. God has a plan and God has a purpose. Don't fall short of it because of fear and doubt. And listen, I know you've lost some things along the way. I know you've been hurt along the way, but Canaan is still in the distance. Praise God. Quit settling for circles in the wilderness. The wilderness is just training ground for Canaan. Go on in. Praise God. Go on in. Here's the problem, though. Canaan didn't just happen for the children of Israel. Boom, there you are. Woo, there it is. Make it easy. Set them right down in Canaan. Somebody had to fight. Somebody had to sacrifice. Somebody had to sweat and bleed. Somebody had to act encouraged. Somebody had to believe for it. What are you saying, preacher? Canaan in your life don't just happen. You have to move on from the Jordan. You have to go on in. You have to possess the land. You have to take the mountain. Believe for a better home. Believe for a better marriage. Believe for better relationships and better influence and better tomorrows. Some of you have quit on the better things and you're settling for circles. Walking in a rut is a lot easier than blazing a trail. Your children need you to believe for better today.
Amen.
Your spouse needs you to believe for better. Your loved ones, those close to you, your neighbors around you need you to believe for better because He brought you out of Egypt to take you in. Praise God. So pick up your stuff. Pick up your stuff. Follow God. Ride on through the River Jordan. Fight for better. Pray for better. Believe for better. Because Canaan is calling us today. Canaan is calling us. Don't die on the east side of Jordan. A whole generation, listen to me, a whole generation died without ever seeing Canaan. They were saved from Egypt, but they never experienced milk and honey. I'm looking for honey today.
Yeah.
Praise God. Don't get me wrong. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But how dare I refuse what he died for me to possess? Did you hear me? How dare I refuse what he died for me to possess? Take the lamb this morning. Take the lamb. I'm closing. What have you settled for? What have you settled for? Oh. He saved us? Yes. But he has more for us. Canaan didn't mean no problems. But Canaan was a home worth fighting for. A tomorrow worth praying for. It was a future worth sacrificing for. Do I have anybody in this place this morning that will cross Jordan with me today? Anybody that will take a step and cross Jordan today, get out of your seat and come and believe for better things.
Amen.
Praise God. You have children that are still in Egypt. You have a spouse that's still making bricks in the slum of sin. You have a marriage that's struggling. Children that are going crazy. You can conquer discouragement today. You can drive out depression today. You can fight for hope today.
Yes.
If you
yes.
have the courage
yes.
to take the steps that
yes.
need to be taken.
Yes.
It's going to start with a step and an act of obedience.
Yes.
If you're in this place today, if you're in this place today and you've not stepped over into Canaan, would you take a step with me today? This altar's going to be open. Is anybody in the house willing to come and pray with me today? Don't you let your family go down without a fight. There's people struggling in this place, and I know you are.
Yes.
Don't you go down without a fight. God's got something better for you. But he says you need to possess it. Is anybody willing to step in with me today? Father, we just thank you.
Thank you for listening to this recorded sermon from Brownsdale Baptist Church from Pastor Jonathan McCullough. If you'd like to speak with someone from our church, you can email us at pastor@brownsdalebaptistchurch.com.